little cashmere. If you haven't been listening to the show for a while, you know, sometimes you tune in, you tune out, maybe you're working a different shift, whatever the case may be. The honest story is I got sick and tired of Play That Funky Music, White Boy, after decades, and I wanted to change theme songs. And my buddy Jeff and his friends Mike McGuire and Dave Mendola and Mark Chimes, back to the bars, they do Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. And I love the song. So I said, you know what? That would be a kick butt intro. And I happen to like it a lot. So I think I should be good for the remainder of the career, which is probably going to be later rather than sooner, because I can't, I don't know. Retirement sounds like it could be fun in a way, but I don't know that I really want to walk away from you guys, because without sounding like I'm full of crap, I miss you guys when I'm not around. What can I tell you? True story. Wait, is that a cliche I should never use? True story? Like, let me reach out. 803-0930. Talking about a whole bunch of stuff involving, like, the human brain. But don't turn the dial. For example, you had a dream, and it proves to be a premonition. You dream about somebody who you haven't seen since high school. You wake up in the morning, and lo and behold, there is a friend request from the person with whom you've had absolutely no contact whatsoever in decades. Sometimes dreams are very understandable. Like, have you ever had the dream where you feel as though your stomach is about ready to unleash sheer hell from the lower GI, and thank God you wake up just in the nick of time? Oh, yeah, I don't have to go any further on that one. I'm cringing. You're cringing. I don't blame you. And do you believe in psychics? And are you somebody, have you had a psychic experience that defies explanation? And I ask these questions because I like to be able to explain things. And I wish we had answers to some of these questions, because even the most hardened skeptic has to admit that there are some really weird things that people have had foreshadowing, people have had intuition. And by the way, intuition is another topic I'm doing today because it fits into this same hole. Has your intuition ever saved your butt? And I think men, if they would open up their minds and their hearts, men can be as intuitive as women. And one of my lessons is, without being paranoid, and that's key, without being paranoid, go with your gut. If your gut tells you that something is wrong, listen to your gut. You might have a feeling that, you know, I don't really like the vibe around work here. I think we might be getting sold. Go with your gut. Your gut should be listened to. Let's go back to Rochester and John on WBEN. John, I have so many passionate opinions about this. Unfortunately, I seem to have very little knowledge, but a lot of opinions. You're talking about China and hypersonic missiles, because I had brought that up in the previous hour in reference to the fact that don't be too freaked out, because our government does not tell us exactly how advanced our technology is. It lies to us, and what you think we have is actually 30 years behind what we actually have. And one concrete example I could give you is stealth personnel gear. It really exists, and they make it seem as though, oh, we just started testing it. No, they've been working on it since the Reagan administration. John, hypersonic missiles.
Well, Tom, what got my interest when I was tuning in was the China connection. And, you know, everybody knows that China steals a lot of our technology. But there was a very substantial faux pas that Bill Clinton committed back in around 1996. One of his chief fundraisers, campaign fundraisers, by the name of Bernard Schwartz, was a high-end head of a big conglomerate, investment conglomerate, and he raised millions and millions of dollars for Bill and Al Gore in those campaigns. And in return, the Commerce Department gave legitimate transfer of high technology, missile technology to China, because that's one of the companies that this Schwartz was involved with, was this technology company with missile technology. And it became a sort of somewhat of a scandal, but it was kind of covered up. And that's, I don't know if you recall, Ron Brown, he was the Commerce Secretary under Clinton.
He was killed in
a plane crash
Europe
during this scandal, and that was the end of the scandal.
It's not like, have you ever seen the movie 7 Days in May?
When you mention
the official being killed in the middle of a scandal, go back and watch the movie 7 Days in May, and there's a scene that will evoke memories of Ron Brown, even though the movie was filmed back during the Kennedy administration, because JFK had read the book and thought it was such an important message, he actually gave the producers carte blanche in the Oval Office to film the movie on location. True story. But as far as the hypersonic missiles, they are a source of concern to me, because even if you've got a Gerald R. Ford state-of-the-art aircraft carrier, what did the Falkland War teach us back in the 1980s? You can have the best, biggest, baddest ship in the world, but if an Exocet missile hits it exactly where it needs to hit it, that ship is going to go down on you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, it really bugs the heck out of me that, we had Bill Clinton in that administration. And Bill Clinton is known as one of the better presidents, according to the media. And I think Republicans...
Now, compared to what we have now, I'm kind of inclined to agree, but that's just me.
Well, that's for sure. But when you think about that technology that was given to the Chinese... Look what it done today. I mean, it's in North China developed all types of hypersonic missile technology. They've transferred it to North Korea and Iran. It's unbelievable that Bill Clinton started this this annihilation of our top secrets.
Well, it's also astonishing to me that Ronald Reagan, the Contras, and Iran got together. And I'm sorry, but I happen to believe that, and I'm going to catch hell for this, and I'm ready for it. I don't think our government is much better than Russia or China in terms of its treatment of its citizens, in terms of, at least with China and Russia, you know what you're getting. But we have this pretend make-believe in America that somehow we're this free country where the government would never do anything wrong against its people. And it's horse crap.
Tom, and furthermore, that brings up a good point as far as what they've done to Trump right from the beginning of his administration with the CIA and Justice Department and the FBI. But the other thing that really ticks me off is we co-sponsored space flights and space stations with the Soviet Union and Russia. Well, who in the heck were they out of their minds to share our technology with the Russians? To this day, I can't believe they did that.
No, not at all, because don't forget, the Soviets, they put Sputnik into orbit before we were putting anything into space. The Soviets, at the end of World War II, they got their Nazi rocket experts. We got our Nazi rocket experts. I mean, Wernher von Braun, of NASA fame, was also in the Allgemeine SS and had basically his crimes against humanity erased because we used him in the war against the Soviets, as the Soviets used their Nazis in the war against the United States.
I remember the Sputniks. I was like in elementary school, but I got to tell you, we surpassed them so quickly and just by so much. There was no need for us to pair up with them on these space stations and rocket technology.
Well, actually,
huge mistake.
A lot of it Look, I'm sure that everything that was shared with countries that were once adversarial to us was pre-approved by CIA, NSA, DARPA, SPAWAR, all of those government institutions about which most people don't have an absolute clue that they exist. But it was also a lot of public relations by both countries. And there was an attempt to convince the world, hey, look, we really don't want to blow up each other. Look, we've got people flying together, Russians and Americans, in space. And you can bet that if our intelligence people thought that there was going to be a risk of losing technology to the Soviets that they didn't already have, it never would have happened. They would have put their fist down. And let us not forget something. You're talking about Bill Clinton. Look this up online. Ronald Reagan, when talking about the Strategic Defense Initiative or Star Wars, he said at one point that, hey, we'll even share the technology with the Russians. And people thought he was crazy, but he wasn't, because the Soviet view of our Strategic Defense Initiative, Star Wars, looking at it from their perspective, that could have given America first strike capability with a minimum response coming from what was then the Soviet Union. So basically, it wasn't a bad idea for Reagan. And I don't really know that we suffered tremendously by linking up with the Soviet Union in space on that one mission they flew. And JFK, by the way, also in the early 1960s, this was the summer of 1963, he was talking more and more about, instead of competing with the Soviets to get into space, doing it together. So, I mean, politics can be very interesting and very, very confusing. But I will tell you something, and I got to move on to some other stuff here. But the idea that our government wears the white hats and would never do anything to its own citizens is absolute crap. I thank you kindly, sir, for the telephone call. 803.
Keep up the fight, Tim.
Well, you know what? If I can't keep up the fight, I'll hire somebody to do it for me. Thank you very much for the call. Bowerly, if you're just joining us, instead of my recapping what we're talking about right now, I'll do it after the news at 4:30. It's really turned into an interesting show, and I might even call this an instant classic, depending on the quality, the continued quality of your phone calls, which has blown me away in recent weeks. Here's Gasper in Lockport. Gasper, you are on WBEN. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. I wanted to share a little story with you that started about 23 years ago. It's a little bit spiritual, and keep in mind that I'm not a big firm believer. Can't deny, nor can I figure out in any way, shape, or form. About 23 years ago, my wife and I were trying to have a child, and we were very unsuccessful, and we're not able to get pregnant. We tried fertility pills and everything. And I was the caregiver for my mother in the final months of her life. And she was in the hospital, and she was slipping in and out of a coma for several days. And one of the last things she told me was she was going to do something very special for my wife and I. Well, that was August 19th, 1998. Christmas Eve, that night, we found out that my wife was pregnant.
No way.
Kind of a miracle. Yes. Well, the story goes far beyond this.
Well, hold my friend, my dear friend Gasper, I want to hear the story, and I think everybody listening wants to hear the story, but do you know who a prisoner of the clock would be? And I need to put you back
on
hold.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to get you on hold, but I'm going to put you right back on afterwards. Can you please hold on? Because it's a great-sounding story. And I want to give you the time to tell it. So I'll put you on hold, and I promise we will get to you. And I hate having to do that to you guys, but, hey, it beats the alternative. See, there's a whole thing about starting cold.
Whoever it is, I wish they cut it out quick. But when they will, I can only guess.
You missed the first line. Tanner, you need to stop it. And then I want you to go back to the beginning of it so we have the first line of the song, which kind of sets the whole theme of Idiot Wind by Bob Dylan from Blood on the Tracks. Could you be so kind as to do that for me?
Someone's got it in for me. They're planting stories in their prayers.
Thank you, Tanner. Sometimes there are bits of music and lyrics that I must hear or else I become apoplectic. Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. By the way, I said this at the beginning of the show, and I'll repeat it. I like to give local bands credit. And last Friday, 45 RPM, they do a lot of British Invasion stuff, a lot of 60s and 70s stuff. They are phenomenal. And saw a band last night at Sorrentino's because Mike DeVita, the man who runs Sorrentino's, owns Sorrentino's, he likes doing live outside music as late as possible into the season. And Party Hounds had never heard of them, had never heard them, and yet as Mrs. Bowerly and I crossed Main Street to go to Sorrentino's, we knew that we had stumbled into an excellent band. And what was really great, I like Pink Floyd, okay? Does anybody not like Pink Floyd? Yes, most of the women I've dated in my life. But they started off the second set by doing basically an almost all solo version of Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd. And it was awesome because it was just the guitar player and his Strat. And then suddenly the bass kicks in and it was transcendent. And something else really quickly about bands, you know, I know that you guys think that these guys who play in bands make a lot of money, but when you break down the setup time, the time you have to spend getting ready for a gig, the time you have to spend tearing down from a gig, the transportation, the wear and tear on the equipment and the body, it ain't a lot of money for most local bands. Now, some of them charge a lot of money and they command it, but there's a lot that goes into it. So if there's a tip jar, you know what? It's not so much about the money as it is showing your appreciation and respect for the dedication to their craft and the entertainment they provide. All right? So, yeah, Party Hounds, definitely worth checking out. 45 RPM, definitely worth checking out. And all the other bands I've named over the years, Hit and Run, Boys of Summer, Nerds Gone Wild, Yacht Fathers, and I happen to be a huge fan of Back to the Bars. Every musician in Western New York understands how good Back to the Bars, they're amazing. All right, and you know what? What's really kind of cool, too, is live local music has gained a foothold and an amazing amount of traction in Western New York over the last 5 years. One of the reasons for that is Jim Cadrina. He doesn't get paid for it, but he has a Facebook page where he lists every local band of which he knows and where they're playing and what time they're playing. And I suggest you follow Jim on Facebook. Jim Cadrina, K-A-D-R-Y-N-A. And if I might be so bold as to request of the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, I really think you guys need to put Jim Cadrina in as a huge supporter of local music. And one of the reasons why Main Street in Williamsville is so crowded in the summertime on Thursday nights and other joints also draw a lot of people is because of Jim Cadrina. He doesn't make a penny off of what he does. It takes him hours every week. Maybe Jim needs a tip jar on his Facebook page. I got a tip for you, Jim. Okay, but let's get back to Gasper in Lockport. Gasper, we're talking about weird stuff, which I will recap following your phone call on WBEN. Go right ahead. Continue. Your mother said that on her deathbed she was going to provide you with a miracle, and you found out as she passed that your wife, who was not supposed to become pregnant, actually got pregnant.
Right. It happened on Christmas Eve. Well, 9 months go by, and my mother died August 19th. My daughter was born exactly 4 hours away from the anniversary of my mother's death. That's another kind of weird thing. Even more weird was my father was from Sicily, so all us kids had dark hair, darker skin. My mother was Irish descent. She always wanted a child with red hair and green eyes, and she never had one. My daughter is born with flaming red hair and green eyes. Kind of hard to believe. So we decorated her nursery in cherubs, and a year and a half later, we're at my mother's house helping my father clean out the house. And up in the cupboard, we find a box addressed to my wife from my mother, full of cherubs. Another weird thing. But then my daughter gets to be about 2 years old, where she can start putting sentences together and talk. And she tells us this story that no child could make up. She said that she died when she was 6 years old in an accident with her family and went to heaven. And my mother took her under her wing. And my mother sent her to be on earth with us. And she swears to that story to this day. And I've got goosebumps about my mother, but she has told me. She has told me about this. And she cries to this day that she misses my mother, but she was born a year later. And then last year...
Time out, sir. You're just like piling on the information, and you're not giving us enough opportunity to fully.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, because it's an awesome. What you're saying is amazing, but I don't want you to feel so rushed that we lose the impact and the import of what you're saying. And my friend, I have goosebumps on my arm when I think other people.
I do too every time I tell it.
I can hear the emotion in your voice. I mean, look, sometimes you can hear emotion in my voice, and I can hear it in your voice. Right. And the cherubs, I mean, what are the scientific, mathematical, statistical probabilities that you choose a cherub motif, and then you find a box addressed by your mom, and it's filled with cherubs?
And it had been there for probably before we even knew we were going to have a child. It'd been there probably for 2 years, you know. So it's just unbelievable. And then it goes on to this past year, my daughter is now 23 years old. Last year, she graduated from Madai College, top in her class, and she goes to UB. And at age 22, we found out that she had stage 3 breast cancer and was triple negative. A lot of people didn't have faith in her recovery. And she has since gone through chemo, gone through radiation, had a double mastectomy. And the doctors to this day say it's nothing short of a miracle how much she reduced the tumor with the first two treatments of the chemo. And they can't explain how it happened. But I think it was my mother as her guardian angel. I really believe that.
How, and I think you have every reason to believe the way in which you believe. That's your prerogative. Can you just explain, because we did a show on breast cancer the other day, as you well know, and it's something that we take very seriously here at WBEN, and I know you guys do as well, and this is, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and the story you have just told is absolutely... it's absolutely spellbinding, and I'm trying to wrap my arms around it. When you say triple negative breast cancer, can you put that into layman's language that lame brains like myself can actually understand?
I really can't because I don't understand it myself. My daughter is a very educated girl. She could tell you so much about it, but it's something that's more of a rare form of cancer. It's very aggressive. It's very rare in young people. And, you know, most women don't even get mammograms until they're in their 40s. Right. And to have a girl at 22 years old diagnosed at stage 3 is almost unheard of. It's just unbelievable, you know.
You know, I'm so glad that we did the show the other day on breast cancer, and that over the years, this radio station, all of our shows, we've spent a lot of time talking about breast cancer, because as we listen to the emotion in your voice, that's love. And that's appreciation for something that, you know, obviously, talk about a guardian angel. Your daughter must have one. I need to know, was she presenting with symptoms of breast cancer? Why would she get diagnosed so early?
She just felt something wasn't right, felt something on herself, and said, I need to go to a doctor. And by the time she got there, they said it's stage 3. And they gave us 11 days to harvest her eggs. If we couldn't harvest her eggs in 11 days, she would never in any way, shape, or form be able to have a fertile egg. And because they said she was so far along that if we didn't start the chemo in 11 days, there was no hope for her. That's how far it was. And to make a recovery and doing as well as she is right now is nothing short of just miracle after miracle after miracle.
How old is she
now?
And
yet it's still very devastating, 23 years old. And she's back in college. She just started back to school. To have a double mastectomy like that as a 23-year-old girl is devastating in itself, you know. It just drives at your self-esteem and, you know, swimming and bathing suits and all that stuff. You know, it's very, very hard and difficult. And you know, like she says,
I'm gonna put you on hold, my friend. I need to put you on hold because this is. I know exactly what's going to happen all weekend long. Whenever I go out, which is pretty much every single day, your telephone call is going to come up in conversation after conversation. This is an incredibly memorable phone call and an incredibly powerful phone call, and I'm just very seldom at a loss for words, but as you describe all of the variables here, it's quite shocking and startling and marvelous, actually. I mean, obviously not the part about the cancer, but in terms of the progression that you have walked us through and all of these things that just had to come together at exactly the right time. It's rather astonishing. Tanner, I've got Transitown.
Buffalo Dental, my bad.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sorry. Having a little computer freeze issue today. And I was frankly so enraptured with our caller that I kind of lost my place. And I think if you're listening to the show, I don't want you to think of that as a downer phone call. I mean, to me, it's a very profound phone call, and I'm just trying to analyze it because, again, this show is kind of like a never-ending quest for truth and explanation of things, and I'm trying to come up with an explanation, and I'm failing. And I think many of you were clearly breathing heavily while listening to the emotional story of Gasper in Lockport, and Gasper's a dad. And he is the proud dad of a young lady who at a very young age was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And, you know, Gasper, whatever you're doing in the background, if you could just put a stop to it so we don't hear the clunking on the radio. But you talked about the psychological impact on your daughter. And as you know, we talked about this the other day. For reasons I'll never understand, America is a very breast-centric country. And the female breast is obviously psychologically very important to every woman out there. Not to mention the fact that we are mammals with mammary glands, and that is how many women provide sustenance to their young, unless they hire a wet nurse or go the formula route. How is your daughter, who is very well educated, who is now, a year out from diagnosis and chemo, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Mentally, how is she holding up attitudinally? Because some people, you hit a situation like that, and it does become a post-traumatic stress situation, and other people can handle it, and you'd never know anything was going on with them. What is your assessment?
She has had her rough days, but believe it or not, she is the strongest girl I know. She has always had a smile on her face, always talked very well, always said that she's going to get through this and she's not going to let it beat her down. And she has held her head high every moment.
There's just such a beautiful story. It all started off with your mother on her deathbed saying that she was going to present a miracle, if I recall the early part of the conversation correctly. Let me ask you this. At your daughter's young age, does she qualify for breast reconstruction surgery?
She will have that eventually. Unfortunately, when they did the mastectomy, she had an implant put in immediately on one side and on the other side an inflator. And they could only put the implant on one side because they had to do the radiation. And they couldn't do it with the implant in. Well, she kept tearing, and she had to have three surgeries after that because it kept tearing loose and coming out. And they eventually had to take both of them out. So she has nothing. She has no implant or any inflator at this time. And we hope that possibly within a year we might be able to start some kind of reconstructive surgery for her.
Well, you know, we talked
about
this.
That's not the end of the world to her. She's learning to cope with it, you know.
Well, and learning how to cope in her early 20s speaks a lot to her character, her courage, her bravery, and her inner strength and radiance of positivity. At such time as the breast reconstruction is done, I do want you to know that there are very talented tattoo artists in Western New York.
Absolutely.
I know one of them very well personally, who is going to be able to provide her with nipples, as tattooed nipples, and from a distance in particular, people will not know the difference. And that is so important, I think, to your daughter's psyche.
Another psychiatric part of it that I didn't think about that she presented to me is, she said, most women are in their 40s and 50s when they have breast cancer. They live through it. They have the next 15 or 20 years to worry about reoccurrence. She said, I'm 20 years old. I've got 50 years to worry about reoccurrence. And that is so true, you know. It's just very devastating to her.
I've got to move on, but I'm not doing a breast cancer show today, but I'm not saying that in any critical way whatsoever.
I was just calling about the miracles, you know, how everything works.
I get it.
Yeah.
If your daughter can call in, sure. I'd love to talk to her. If your daughter can call in and she's up to it, I would really enjoy conversing with her. Is that fair enough?
Or, you know, if you ever want to talk to her on your own and get a story from her and then she would be more than happy to talk to you on the side.
That would be inappropriate.
I can give you her phone number if you want to take me offline. Well, I'll give you her phone number. You can call her anytime.
Well, all right, give it to Tanner. Let's see if we can't get her on the air in the next hour. Okay. Fair enough? All right, I'll put you on hold there.
That sounds good.
That story is going to stay with you all weekend long. Buffalo Bills, no Buffalo Bills. That's life right there, and that's very powerful stuff.